Would you pray with me before we dig into God's Word? Father, we are so grateful for the amazing gift of your Son, Jesus. We're grateful that it makes a difference. It made a difference that very first night when you entered this universe in the form of a little baby. And it continues to make a difference in our lives every moment, every day. And I pray now that as we dig into your God's Word, that you would give us new understanding and new insights that would allow us to be able to understand who you are and how you want to impact our life in new and fresh ways. We pray, Lord, that you would give us just a spirit of desire to learn and grow. And God, would you help us be willing then to respond as your Spirit leads us. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed and said, Amen. I wonder how recently you have received a birth announcement. Anybody recently? Anybody? I had a grandbaby a couple of months ago, so we got a birth announcement a few months ago. You know, they used to come in the mail, and they were these cute little cards, and they had lots of pertinent information on them, these birth announcements. They typically gave you the exact time that that little baby entered this world. They talk about things like weight and length, and they sometimes show a picture of a little scrunched up baby face. Do you know what I'm talking about? And then it tells you the baby's name. Birth announcements. They used to come by mail. Now they often come via email or even via social media, but they contain the same kind of information and they have the exact same purpose. These announcements are introducing you to this little person to whom God has given life. They want you to know this little person. And even though you're going to get to know them a lot more as they grow and develop, there's something very special about being introduced through a birth announcement, having a little bit of detail about the person's existence, and knowing their name. Birth announcements. They're really, really significant. Now, during the next few Sundays, we want to remind you of the most important birth announcement ever given. Think about it. This birth announcement comes from the Creator of the universe. This announcement begins hundreds of years before the baby is ever even born. And down through the centuries, this birth announcement continues to have new pieces of information put into it. And finally, this birth announcement is completed by an angel and an angel choir on Christmas when they announce to us good news of great joy. A baby has been born who will be the Savior, the Messiah for all people. It is the greatest birth announcement ever given. And it has the same purpose that birth announcements have for you and me today in our lives. This birth announcement was designed by God so you and I could be introduced to His Son. Because He wants every single person to know His Son. He doesn't want us to have to guess what He's like. And so He gives us information, gives us details. He introduces us and He tells us His name. This divine birth announcement that we receive, it begins to give us this up close and personal look at Jesus, a baby in a manger who is ultimately our Savior and our King. Now that truth, a baby in a manger, Savior and King. That truth, that reality is challenging for us to grasp intellectually. Can you imagine, just for a moment, imagine staring into the face of a little baby and knowing that you're actually looking at the face of God? It is a mind-bending truth. And it is so challenging for us that many people, they just choose to ignore Jesus beyond the manger. They choose to ignore him beyond the manger. But I'd like to remind you that if we confine Jesus to the manger, we actually miss the true hope of Christmas. God started giving birth announcements, prophecies we might call them. And he wanted us to know right from the very beginning, even before his son was born, he wanted us to know that this baby was going to be much more than just a child born in a Bethlehem stable. So he starts by giving an announcement and telling us his name. Now we know in our culture, names are important. One of the first things you often will do when you walk into a room and you don't know anybody there, one of the first things you do as you gather courage is you introduce yourself and you tell them your name. Many of us have met by me saying, "Hi, my name is Wes." And you tell me your name and we get acquainted. We use names to identify each other in our society. Names are important. But names were even more important in biblical culture. Because names were used not only to identify a person, they were actually used to describe character. Biblical names were used to describe character. So as you and I begin to understand Jesus' name, we begin to understand something about who he is, who he truly is, and the difference that he wants to make in our lives. And so I want to invite you to go to one of the first prophecies that we have in Scripture. Not the first, but one of the first, perhaps one of the most famous ones that we're aware of. Isaiah, the prophet, is given the opportunity to give us a birth announcement. Hundreds of years before this baby would be born. And God inspired the prophet Isaiah to say to the nation of Israel, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "The virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. But this Jesus, this Son of God, needs more than one name because he is too big to be confined to one name. And so the Holy Spirit inspires Isaiah to continue this birth announcement. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we read more information about this baby coming. It says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." God wanted us to know right from the very beginning that this Jesus is more than a cute and cuddly baby born into the family of Mary and Joseph. This baby is God with us. The Apostle Paul tried to help people wrap their brains around this truth, and so he wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God." The visible image of the invisible God. God with us. Now this is such a mind-blowing truth, because since the very beginning of history, people have been trying to figure out what God is like and what God looks like. And that's why religious philosophies and religious ideologies all over the world, they have statues and drawings and idols and temples. Those things are all about people trying to give some physical expression to their idea or their view of God. And God says to us, "You don't have to look at a Buddhist statue to find out what I'm like." He says, "You don't need to pray before a drawing of one of the deities of Hinduism to gain insight into my character." God says, you don't need to grab a prayer rug and bow down and pray in the direction of Mecca to discover my plan for your life. God says, to see me, to see who I truly am, all you need to do is look at Jesus, because he is the visible expression of who I am. That's what God says to us this Christmas season. And so we're going to spend this month of December talking about who Jesus is, talking about the name that he's given. And we're going to begin today by talking about this one name given, Wonderful Counselor. God says, if you want to know who I am, look at Jesus. And one of the names that describes who Jesus is that he is a Wonderful Counselor. Now, this description from Isaiah is so powerful, especially when you think about it from the way that Isaiah actually spoke it or wrote it in the Hebrew language. In the Hebrew language, the word for wonderful indicates this. It indicates something uncommon or out of the ordinary, something lying outside the realm of human explanation. And so Isaiah says, this Jesus who is coming, this baby who is coming, who is going to be the Messiah and the Son of God, he is so wonderful that it actually defies description. It is way beyond what I can put into words. Isaiah says, all I know is he is a Wonderful Counselor. How in the world do you begin to understand what a Wonderful Counselor Jesus is? Well, Isaiah gives us some more information. He adds more detail to the birth announcement, Isaiah chapter 11. He says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah says, this Jesus, this Wonderful Counselor, he will bring to you wisdom and understanding and counsel and strength and knowledge. And he will bring to you the reverence and worship of a holy God. So put these thoughts together if you can in your mind just for a minute. When you think about this reality, Isaiah is saying to us, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is here right now, and he comes to us as a Wonderful Counselor filled with wisdom and understanding and counsel and strength and knowledge, all of it. That's who Jesus is and wants to be in our life. This Wonderful Counselor, he meets us right where we are. And because of his truth, he is truth. Because of the light that he brings, because of the counsel and wisdom and understanding and strength and all of that, because of that, he transforms our lives. Now, as we try to wrap our brain around this, think about it this way. Jesus, our Wonderful Counselor, he meets us in the middle of our real world moments so that he can transform our darkness into light. Think about it. He meets us in the middle of our real world moments so he can transform our darkness into light. When do you need counsel? When do you need understanding? When do you need wisdom? When you can't see things clearly. When you're struggling to really understand. And Jesus comes to us in the middle of our real world moments where we're struggling to see clearly, where we're struggling to understand, where we're struggling to make sense of things. And he comes and he transforms our darkness into light. Now, if you were to look in your Bible or take your phone app, Bible phone app, and flip to the very beginning of the book of Isaiah, you would discover that Isaiah is very honest about the darkness that people are living in at his time in history.
He's speaking to the nation of Judah. Israel has already split into two nations because they've been overthrown. And so they're in a great big huge mess in every way you can imagine it. They're in a mess economically, financially, socially. They're in a mess religiously. They are in a mess just in every way imaginable. Darkness is prevailing, it seems, at this time in the history of Israel. And Isaiah is really honest about it. I mean, he is really, really, really honest. In fact, when you look at the words of the beginning of Isaiah, they are not fun and filled with sunshine. Isaiah just says, you're in a mess. And he says, you're in a mess because you haven't followed God. You haven't honored God. It is not a fun read. Just to think about the darkness that these people were living in. They had been taken over by the Assyrian armies. The places that they once knew as familiar and wonderful and beautiful had been destroyed and broken down. They were poor. There were some who were rich because they were corrupt and were taking advantage of those who were poor. Isaiah says, this is a mess. This is darkness. And it seems like this darkness is prevailing. It seems like this darkness is everywhere. But he says, there's hope. There's hope. In fact, if you look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, just a few verses before where we read about being a wonderful counselor, Isaiah says, the people who walk in darkness are going to see a great light. Those who live in deep darkness, the light will shine upon them. And hundreds of years later, the priest Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist, he would say about Jesus coming, just before Jesus is born, he would say about Jesus, the light from heaven is about to break upon us to light up those who sit in darkness. And Jesus himself, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus comes as a wonderful counselor, and he comes to light up all of the dark areas of our life. He comes to bring light and hope to our whole world. There are some who would look at our world today and say, it's never been darker. You can argue that point. But with Jesus, there is always light that offers hope in the middle of the darkness. With Jesus, there is always light that brings clarity to the darkness. For us personally, for our families, for our community, for our whole world, Jesus wants to bring light to the darkness. Jesus, as a wonderful counselor, he comes and meets us in our real world moments so he also can bring shalom into our conflict, or conflict from our shalom. He wants to transform that conflict into peace. Conflict is not a new thing for most of us. Did any of you have brothers and sisters? Yeah, we know something about conflict, don't we? In fact, one of the first conflicts in the Bible is between two brothers, Cain and Abel, and it did not end well. Now, hopefully, your conflicts with your siblings didn't look anything like Cain and Abel's issues. But if you've been a part of a family, you understand something about conflict. It's just a part of what happens on this planet. Some of you had conflict getting to church this morning, didn't you? Some of you did. I mean, we love our children with every fiber of our being. But when we are trying to get to church on time, crazy behavior can ensue, can it? I mean, we say things like, if you don't get your clothes on, I'm taking you in your underwear. Really? Please don't do that. Nobody wants to see that. Or we actually threaten violence. We say, if you don't get down here right now, I'm coming up there. We threaten violence so we can get our kids to church on time to hear about the love of Jesus. Problem there somehow. We understand that this world is filled with conflict, sometimes at a family level, and man, it just explodes from there. There's conflict all over in our society, all over in our world. We know about conflict. And Jesus wants to bring shalom. And that word shalom means more than just peace. It does mean peace. It's a Jewish greeting, which means I give you peace or I leave you with peace. It's a goodbye and a hello. But it also is a word that indicates I'm hoping and I'm wishing and I'm asking God to give you wholeness, health, and completeness. I'm asking for you to be affected positively in every area of your life. I want you to experience God's peace. God's peace. And Jesus says to us, I want to bring wholeness and healing and peace into your heart and into your life as your wonderful counselor. And I believe He wants to do that for us. He wants to meet us in those areas of life where there's conflict and there's problem. And He wants to help us see clearly. He wants to help us understand how to navigate our way through that. He wants to help us understand how it can be resolved, at least from our point. He wants to help us experience shalom in the middle of our conflict. And I think He wants to meet us in the middle of our real world moments so He can bring and transform us from those moments where we've experienced loss into abundance. From loss into abundance. This may be the most challenging one for us to talk about for a minute this morning, because loss is always so difficult. Sometimes we go through those times of overwhelming loss and grief. And some of you are going through that. You're experiencing the first Thanksgivings and Christmases without somebody that you loved and were a big part of your life. And there are going to be moments where you are going to feel that so real during this season. Sometimes grief almost comes in waves. Loss is tough. Loss is difficult in all of its forms. Whether you've lost a loved one to a disease, or whether you've lost a job, or you've lost relationship with a child or a parent. I mean, loss is always difficult. But I want to remind you that Jesus comes to us in the middle of our loss. And He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't say, oh, get over it. Doesn't do that. Jesus meets us in the middle of our grief, in the middle of our loss, and He walks with us right in the middle of it. I never can think about this thought without being reminded of Jesus going to Mary and Martha at the death of their brother Lazarus, and a friend of Jesus has died, and we are told that Jesus just sits with them right in the middle of that, and He weeps with them. He doesn't ignore it. Doesn't act like it's unimportant or insignificant. He is with them in the middle of it. And in the middle of Jesus being with us in our loss and in our grief, Jesus can transform the hurt and the pain and transform it into a place where there is healing and hope and help and purpose and meaning. Doesn't mean it's not painful. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Doesn't mean that loss is not real. It just means that because of Jesus, there is always hope. There's always transformation that can occur. There's always purpose and meaning that can come. Jesus meets the nation of Israel in the middle of their loss. They have lost almost everything that is meaningful to them. And Isaiah says, as a part of Jesus coming, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 3, he says, you will rejoice again. You will. You will rejoice
like people rejoice at a harvest. You've worked hard. You've gone through the tough stuff. There's been all of the difficult things that go into getting a harvest ready. And when the harvest actually comes, there's a sense of relief and joy and celebration because finally all of that has paid off into something new and fresh. A harvest. And in Jesus, we walk through all of those tough things, all of those difficult, challenging things, and we discover that He is with us in the middle of all of it, and He can bring abundance out of that. He can somehow, some way, because only God can use what Satan meant for evil, He can use for good. Only God can. Only God can transform loss into a spirit of abundance. And abundance doesn't mean just physical blessings. It means coming to that point in our hearts and our minds where we can see God at work in the middle of everything. And we can realize His purpose and His plan in the middle of all of it. Closely associated with Jesus transforming our loss into abundance is just one final thought. He wants to turn our despair into joy. He wants to turn our despair into joy. I've already mentioned that Isaiah is very honest about all of the mess that's happening in the nation of Israel. And yet, he has these moments where God inspires him to give hope to the nation because he says there's a baby coming, and it's not just a baby. It is going to be Emmanuel. It's not just a baby. It's going to be a wonderful counselor. It's not just a baby. It's going to be a mighty God. It's not just a baby. It's going to be the Prince of Peace and an everlasting Father. So he's giving them hope in the middle of helping them understand the reality of their mess. And they're in despair. And Isaiah says at the very beginning of chapter 9, he says, "Nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Because there's a wonderful counselor coming. Because there's a mighty God coming." He says, there's hope in the middle of your mess. And if we're honest, we would admit that there are times in our life where we feel like despair is prevailing. We feel like that. And Isaiah speaks to us just like he spoke to the nation of Israel. And he says, yes, I know it's bad and I know it may hurt and I know there may be all kinds of things going haywire and it may look like there's not a lot of reasons for joy. But he says, nevertheless, this despair is not going to go on forever because there is a Messiah coming. There is hope coming. And hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And He is our wonderful counselor. There's so much more that we could say about all of these things, but you don't need to hear me say anything more. I'd just love to ask you a question. Where do you need to experience the wonderful counselor in your life today? Where do you need to experience Him? Because He's here in the middle of this real world. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And He desires to meet us in the middle of the real stuff going on in our life. And He wants to bring light where there's darkness. He wants to bring shalom and peace and wholeness where there is conflict. He wants to bring meaning and purpose and hope and abundance from our loss. And He wants to bring joy into those places where we have felt only despair. Now, before we completely end today, can we just acknowledge the fact that for many of us, we tend to seek counsel in the wrong places? We're prone to this as human beings. We seek relationship advice from people who have a string of messed up relationships in their lives.
Or we seek financial advice from somebody who's never figured out how to move out of their parents' basement. We tend to seek wisdom in all the wrong places. Jesus says, I have the counsel that you need. And he said, people, he wanted to drive this home. So he said to one group of people he was preaching to in Matthew chapter 7, verses 20 through to 25, he said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. And though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and winds beat against it, that house won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. Only Jesus can give us that kind of solid foundation in our lives. Listen to His counsel. Live by His counsel. Let Him work in your life in a transforming way. Stand together, please. Jesus, we are so grateful that You come to us as a wonderful counselor. You come to us as one who wants to bring light into the darkness of our life. You come to us as one who desires to bring joy into those places where we have felt only despair, and You want to bring hope and healing and meaning from those places where we have experienced deep loss. You want to bring peace where there's been conflict. And so I pray that as we see You today for who You are, this wonderful counselor, that You would help us to open our hearts and lives to You and receive You. Receive the work that You want to do in our lives today. And I pray that You would help us just to be honest enough to say, yes, Jesus, this is where I need You to work in my life. I need You to be my wonderful counselor right here in this area. And I know as we honestly pray that prayer to You, Jesus, You are going to meet us right where we are. We pray that You would give us all that You came to give us, that we would receive it today. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Jesus, go with us now. May we experience You as our wonderful counselor this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.